So Christmas has ended. We're now living in the aftermath of Christmas. Or are we? I guess all of us will have a different period of time that we allocate that we refer to as being Christmas. Some of us might say, well, it's just Christmas Day. Some might extend it a bit longer, say, oh no, Christmas is Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Some of us might say, oh no, it's the whole week. It's Christmas week. Some of us might say, oh no, it starts in November and goes right the way on to Twelfth Night in January. That's the Christmas season. Whichever way we see it, now we're at 27th of December, 2 days after Christmas Day, I'm sure some of us will have some leftovers from Christmas. It could be in the form of turkey. It could be that you've still got some presents because the people you originally were giving them to couldn't come to join Christmas Day with you. Maybe you've still got some of your decorations up to remind you that it's still Christmas. As you can see, you may still have your Christmas outfits on, just like me. Or dare I say, some of you may actually have the leftover of Christmas in the form of a very bad headache. And it may be that your house is still filled with all kinds of empty boxes and wrapping paper and all the rubbish that's been left over from Christmas. We've kind of moved from Christmas to Christmas. Now, some of us are fine with Christmas. It's all part of the fun of the season. But for others who hate mess, they can't wait to get it all cleared up. Get all this mess out of the house. Because Christmas is not what this season's about. For some of us, of course, Christmas is not so much associated with wrapping paper and that kind of thing, but actually the fact that COVID-19 has messed with our Christmas. A lot of plans people had of meeting together with family were kind of ruined, weren't they, by decisions that were made. And maybe you were one of those who had all organised your Christmas bubble and you had it planned over a period of 5 days, and then despondency set in when it was announced actually you're only allowed to meet for one day. I've tried to put a positive side to all of this, recognizing that maybe all of these changes and all these differences that we've had to face this year means that we can look at Christmas in a different way. After all, we celebrate Christmas every year and it's often the same thing. Well, maybe this is slightly different this year, so therefore we could look at it in a fresh and different way. And of course, the original Nativity story was full of change, wasn't it? Everybody's life was turned upside down who's involved in the Christmas story. So having a Christmas this year, a little bit different, a little bit more messy, perhaps. It's not a bad thing necessarily because it enables us to think of it all from a slightly different perspective. Storyteller Di Woolridge nicely conveys some of this concept of the Christmas in his presentation that is simply called Mess.
The Christmas story. How would you explain it? How would you picture Christmas if you could frame it?
The Nativity, right?
Shepherds watching their flocks by night, wise men trekking whilst tracking a sat-nav starlight with Mary and Joseph, humbled by the sight of little baby Jesus tucked in tight.
That's Christmas, right?
Propped up with straw and reeds and a tray of animal feed and cushioned in.
Hey, I know it sounds quite cosy and nice. Reality was, there was no room for the little guy on that Bethlehem night.
He kept in a cradle. Animals as roommates.
I'm not trying to pick holes in the state of the place.
I'm just saying the way they were staying was just short of space.
I mean, talk about entrance. His birth from a dress meant Jesus literally arrived in the mess.
But less about the birthplace and the state of the floor. I mean,
there's more to the Christmas story than the deck of straw.
Flip forward 8 days. In the temple, this little guy's the reason for praise. From the lips of a guy called Sim who's in his old age. For years, Sim waited in anticipation, but then the old met the new.
My eyes have seen your salvation.
The newborn Jesus, from mess he manger to a passing of the baton just 8 days later.
Seeing the mess of the birth comes a new age, and what's more, the birth was foretold in a mess age.
Which brings us back to the cast. At the Nativity set, you see, it was a message that guided their stable footsteps. An angel postman popped round, said Mary'd found favour, a save the date declaration, you'll give birth to the Saviour. He'd be Son of the Most High, born through the Spirit, heir to David's throne, his reign without limit to Joseph. call him Jesus, he really will bless, because he came to save people from all their mess. To the shepherds, he's here to rescue. That's why he's come. The reason for good news of joy, he's the one. As for the wise men, they figured the news. They gave gifts and paid homage to little King of the Jews. See, God brought the message, so they entered the mess to see Jesus' arrival at the nativity set. But let's back up a sec. See, this rhetoric rings a bell. Back in the day, Isaiah waxed lyrical about a future Emmanuel, God with us, one who'd be central to the story of forgiveness. So zoom out from the Christmas postcard, a message 700 years prior. He'll be a light to the searchers that spread salvation, says Isaiah. See, the angels' news, it wasn't new. In fact, these nativity messages echoed God's promises right through the ages. These messages read Jesus speaking hope to the earth, predicting his arrival centuries before the birth. Thing is, when Christmas comes round, maybe there's a danger that we go Pinterest with Christmas and just pin up the manger in the nativity scene. It's like rating a whole film by watching one scene or thinking you know a novel because you had a quick look. So you get the whole story by skim reading one page in a book. And what I said before, about him born in the mess and the deck out of straw, maybe it could also be a metaphor for all the mistakes, all the messiness in life and what that creates, all the stuff in this world that just doesn't sit right. There was a reason he was born on that first Christmas night. He was born in the mess to make the wrong right. He's the message of hope. Because out of the mess saw God news birth that will certainly bless. Frame the stable, sure, but don't miss the picture. It was a message declared since the beginning of scripture. A war in the mess, but there's only one victor. A heel bruised, but be good news for sure. The very promise became flesh in that deck out of straw. See, from the mess comes a message, and there's none that is higher. Because what follows the mess is I-A-H, mess, I-A.
As we come to this last Sunday in 2020, I would like us to think a little bit about this Christmas idea. And I want to link it to the sermon series that we completed just before we went into the Christmas season. Do you remember? It was called Wander in the Wilderness, when we were looking at some of the wonderful ways in which God provided for the children of Israel as they were journeying from Egypt to Canaan. On that journey, everyone had to carry their own possessions. So their clothes, the things that were most important to them, and of course their tent, which they had to pitch every single time the cloud of God rested. But somebody in that crowd also was carrying something else quite unusual. And it was connected to a promise that had been made a long time in the past. We read in the book of Genesis about the story of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. And he spent a long period of time in the Egyptian jail until God very graciously and wonderfully exalted him to a position of huge responsibility in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And the end result was that his own family left the promised land and came and lived with him in Egypt. And everything was fine until Joseph died, and the crowd of Joseph's family grew larger and larger and became a threat to the Egyptian economy. And they ended up putting them under slavery. And that was the reason why God then needed to bring them out of Egypt back into the promised land that had been given to Abraham as a promise for him and his descendants. Before Joseph died, however, he asked the people that they would do something and would promise that they would do it when they returned back to the promised land. This is what it says in Genesis 50. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die. But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." It's a little bit morbid, isn't it? But Joseph wants to be buried in the place of his ancestors. He wants to be buried in the land that God had promised him and his family. Now, of course, this request could easily have been forgotten as the years went by, couldn't they? But it wasn't. Someone somewhere had recorded this request and this oath that had been made so that when they did finally get released from Egypt, they did take Joseph's bones. This is what it says in Exodus 13. After the Passover, this happened. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. And so for 40 years they carried Joseph's bones as they wandered around the wilderness. Until finally, when they entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, it says in the last chapter of the book of Joshua these words. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. When I read that story, I'm reminded of a personal experience when my dad passed away just before Christmas a few years ago. He had been out in Australia with my mum and my grandmother visiting my uncle who lived in Australia. And sadly, quite unexpectedly, he passed away while they were there. I remember receiving a phone call from my mum in the early hours of the morning to be told that my dad had died. And of course, I was naturally quite disorientated, not only by being woken up quite early in the morning by the phone going, but also by receiving this very unexpected news. Although it was very close to Christmas, the church I was the pastor of at the time were very, very kind in offering to pay for me to go out to Australia in order to be able to attend the funeral. But I never felt that that was appropriate. I had a real sense of peace within that because my dad knew the Lord Jesus as his personal saviour, then he had gone to be with the Lord. So that was okay. I also had peace that my mum wasn't on her own. She had her mum there and her brother there, so she wasn't carrying all of this by herself. And so it was agreed that they would hold a funeral service in Australia, and it was recorded so my sister and I could hear the audio a little bit later. And then when my mum returned to this country, she brought my dad's ashes with her. She brought them 9,500 or so miles into this country. And then we had a service of remembrance for him. And then we went and buried those ashes locally in a place set aside as a family grave. So I can identify with this idea of carrying the bones to another country, carrying them for a long journey and then laying them to rest in an appropriate place. In that situation, it was right that they should carry the bones of Joseph. But also those people were carrying some things that maybe they shouldn't have been. For example, a lot of them were carrying the Egyptian mind within their heads. So that some of them wanted to go back. They were craving. Do you remember in the stories we looked at? They craved after Egypt. They wanted to eat the food of Egypt. Despite the fact they were in slavery, they kind of dismissed that because they were hungry for the food of Egypt and wanted to return. They couldn't get Egypt out of the way of thinking. And we know at least on one occasion when Moses was up the mountain that they thought, okay, it's all over. Moses is dead. Let's go and worship something else. Let's build a golden calf. And they started worshipping other gods just like they had done back in Egypt. And we also know that they had a lot of fear because when they did finally get to the promised land and they got report back that there were giants in the land, fear overtook everyone and they never went in. And the end result was they spent the rest of their lives in the wilderness. Things which they carried that they should have let go. So why am I mentioning all this? After all, it's meant to be the season to be jolly. And why is Charlie, Bony Prince Charlie, appeared on my left hand shoulder? Well, the reason is because 2020 has been an awful year, not just for us, but for the nation and the whole world. And as a result, we may well have picked up all kinds of negative things this year. And we need to bury those bones. We need to lay them to rest and not carry them into 2021. Over the last few years, I've wondered about whether to buy one of these outside nativity sets. They weren't brilliant, but they could have been readapted to help to make an interesting display in my front garden. but I could only get them from America, and they would cost a lot of money to purchase and to ship over to the UK, so I've never bought one. This year on Facebook, they were advertising one of these sets that was very reasonably priced and was easily accessible in this country. So I thought, this year, I'll buy one. I can put it in the garden outside of our house, and because my window is being used for the Advent trail, then when people come to see the lights on our window, then by the side of it, I could have set up this nativity set, and the whole message of what Christmas is all about would be communicated to anybody who visits the house. And so I purchased the set, and then we waited for it to arrive. So we waited and we waited, and then we got notification that our order had been shipped. So we waited a little bit longer, and then we got a notification that it was out for delivery. So I knew that the delivery set was quite big, and I knew that the height was around about 4 or 5 foot. So what I didn't want is loads of cardboard boxes being laid outside of our front door in the rain. So I stayed at home and worked from home and waited for the delivery. And then the delivery man arrived, and this is what he gave us. As you can see, it wasn't very big. It wasn't very colourful. It certainly wasn't the complete nativity picture. It wasn't made of wood, and it certainly wasn't worth the money that I paid for it. Needless to say, I have since been engaging in a long email exchange demanding a refund. We expected one thing, and a significantly inferior thing arrived instead. And I think that basically sums up 2020, doesn't it? When 2020 started, most of us approached it as being a brand new year, in fact, a brand new decade, with all kinds of things that could be exciting that's going to take place during this particular year. And I know many churches were building ideas about it being 2020 and using the idea of 2020 vision, seeing clearly the way up ahead. And then, of course, in March, everything changed. Some of us had had dream holidays in place and were really looking forward to it. Some of us had weddings planned and really were planning beautifully for that. Maybe they'd been planned for a couple of years. Some of us were looking forward to promotions in our place of work. Some people were looking forward to celebrating birthdays with loved ones. But then, just as like this nativity delivery, 2020 did not deliver what we originally expected. Instead, come March, we were all put into lockdown, and we've never really come out of those restrictions ever since. Not only have we had to reschedule or cancel events, but we've also had to witness via the media the sad images of seeing the numbers of people whose lives have passed away and the stresses that so many people have been under who've been caring for those who are sick. And during this year, we may well have lost out on a number of different things. And maybe this year, maybe the whole year has affected us mentally and emotionally, and maybe spiritually. And here we find ourselves on the 27th of December 2020, carrying a lot of things that are burdening us. Maybe we feel more fear than we did last year. Maybe we feel more anxiety than we did on the 27th of December 2019. Maybe the tensions of this year have caused friction between us and some other people, and maybe we've stopped talking to one another because of it. Can I suggest that these bones shouldn't be carried any longer? And as we come to the end of 2020, we should lay them to rest. There's an old hymn that has this chorus. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. What might God want you to stop carrying today and to leave with him? Maybe there is some personal failure, something you did wrong in the past, and you still carry that memory. Maybe you carry that guilt, self-judgment associated with something you did. And wherever you go, you are constantly reminding yourself or reminded by some other kind of trigger that you did this thing in the past. Can I encourage you in this last week of 2020 to lay those bones to rest and receive forgiveness? Maybe the bones you carry are the failures of others. Maybe people have let you down, have hurt you, they've betrayed you, and you carry a somewhat bitter memory of them and towards them. Wherever you are, you're reminded of what they did to you. Can I encourage you in this last week of 2020 to lay those bones to rest and forgive the one who has hurt you? Maybe the bones you're carrying are an ambition, a hope that is contrary to God's will. And as long as you pursue this path, then you're fighting against God. If you know that what you really desire is not what God really desires for you, then can I encourage you in this last week of 2020 to lay those bones to rest and to stop seeking after that ambition that you know is not in God's will for you? Or maybe the bones you're carrying are the opposite to that. Maybe you know that God is calling you to serve him in a certain way, and you've carried that call for a long time, but you've kept putting it off, you've kept delaying it, maybe out of all kinds of reasons, but you've chosen not to respond to something you know is what God is saying to you. Can I encourage you in this last week of 2020 to lay those bones to rest? And as you approach 2021, say yes to God in response to his call upon your life. And associated with that, and maybe with all these other things, maybe the bones you carry are ones of fear. Afraid of the repercussions of the past. Maybe afraid of getting things wrong in the present. Maybe afraid of the unknown in the future. If you carry the bones of fear right now, can I encourage you at the end of this year, 2020, to lay to rest those bones and to choose to trust the Lord wholeheartedly, for he is the one who calls us to cast all our anxieties upon him, because he, Jesus, cares for you. So a moment of quiet prayer before we bring this service to a close, to bring to God whatever we might refer to as being the bones of 2020. And let's begin the process of laying them to rest. Lord, please hear our prayer and help us to let go. In Jesus' name. Amen.